Never heard of you before. It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature.
Good morning, beautiful people. Unknown Preacher LA. I'm your boy LA, aka Lonzo, aka Mr. Nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And with me, my friends, my pals, my nephew, and his main lady. Josh and Kaya, how are y'all?
Doing great. Thank you for introducing us. You know, that was a great intro.
I'm doing good as well.
Good, good. Always a pleasure to have you two join us in those busy schedules you have. So yes. I appreciate you. Hey, this is our second episode of season three. So we're now at 68 episodes, so God is good, you know.
Yes,
He is. That's cool. Yeah, I didn't realize it was that many.
man. I got a catalog now, man. You go on there and you have options.
You can scroll now.
you gotta scroll now. Yes, indeed.
Eventually, you on the internet soon. So,
yeah, absolutely. Hey, someone just graduated, right?
Yes, I did. I just graduated.
Congrats.
Mr. Masters.
Yes. Tell everyone what you had your master's in.
Yes. So I received my master's in informational technology sciences and my concentrations in health informatics. I received that at North Carolina Central University. It's a great program. I recommend anyone that, you know, wants a second chance or doesn't know what they want to go into, you know, this could be an opportunity for someone. And, you know, it's a great program. You know, you can get connected with many people and, you know, in that field and just thrive off of that. So, yeah, I think it's a fantastic program.
Man, many blessings, and I pray that many more doors open for you, man. That's a big deal.
Same to you. Same to you.
Yeah. And Kaya and Josh, so before we really get into our guest, I'll talk about him, but what's on your minds?
Yeah.
I think it's a new year.
Yes.
And it's just trying to pray and hope God gives you many more lessons, but also more blessings and keep going. I think that it's a new year, so it's a new start for a lot of things and just trying to write my goals down and figure out how I want this year to go.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. So do you do a vision board or you do New Year's resolutions?
Right now is mental. I got to give it to Josh because he was telling me we got to meet to write our goals together.
We'll get it.
Yeah, we'll get it. We got to figure out a day. Well, I got to figure out a day. He's already on it, but we're trying. We'll meet up and do the goals and stuff.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry, Josh. Go ahead.
No, just picking it back off of Kai, you know, that's my feel. I was talking to my friend earlier, Carlos. I was telling him, I was like, this year, 2025, I'm just going to flow like water, like how Bruce Lee's, you know, like, I usually overthink things. And, you know, this year, whatever comes to me, you know, it's life. So, you know, whatever you give to me, I'm going to, you know, make it my own thing, and I'm going to continue to go forward with it. You know, I see it as this too. Whatever you put in is what you're going to get out, just like a sport. Amen. The whole year. And that's going to continue on. It's not just right now. It's just, this is one of my 2025 goals. And I recommend it to anyone that wants to, you know, improve. So, yeah.
Amen. What impressed me about you two is you have all these other things going on, and then you're still not only able to make the relationship work, but you still have, you know, your joint endeavors, including helping me out from time to time. So I just see this superpower couple, man, thing just really coming into fruition, man.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Anything going on newsworthy that y'all can think of?
I would say what has been going around was actually, did you hear about the preacher in Virginia?
I did not.
Yes, the Virginia pastor. He made that. There was a young 16-year-old girl who ended up getting pregnant. He made her stand in front of the congregation and apologize for being pregnant. And I thought it was just egregious.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. And so apologize to the congregation for being pregnant.
Yes. And I feel like it's shameful for him to like humiliate that young girl in front of the whole congregation. And it's even more shameful that her mom and the other women in the congregation allowed it to happen. And while I was looking at it, it just reminded me of like the previous episode that me and Josh were on with you. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about how young people are leaving the church.
Yes.
And it's because of actions like that from people in the congregation who have the biggest voices, such as that pastor. And it's pastors like him who say that they're leading by the example of Jesus and his disciples, but they're ignoring the words and actions that Jesus did. Amen. Because it just made me think, if Jesus could go back and speak to several prostitutes and treat them with respect in the Bible, like in John 8-13, mm-hmm. when he saved that prostitute from being stoned, yeah. and he said, "Neither do I condemn you, go and from now on, do not sin." And then he also forgave another prostitute for her sins when she washed his feet with perfume and her told her that her faith saved her in Luke. And if Jesus can forgive a prostitute, then that little girl should have been treated better. Mm-hmm. And it shows like there's like a difference between reprimanding and humiliating. Yeah. And even for him to tell the congregation not to go to the baby showers and love on that girl, when in Jeremiah, it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart." And in Psalms 139, verse 16 says, "Your eyes even saw me as an embryo, and all parts are written in your book." That baby is already God's child. And I feel like he's not a pastor. He's an apostate. And wow. Whoever follows his words are turning their backs on God's creation, no matter how holy they claim themselves to be. Because it just boggles my mind, because it first of all, they would have shamed her if she aborted the baby, because that's a sin. But it's also a sin that she's pregnant. And it's like, it takes two to tango, because it takes two to make a baby. And that woman's baby daddy, if he is in the congregation, he needs to stand up there as well and bear the shame.
Yeah.
And I digress, but I say all that to say, in the Black community, we need to do better, because Black women and Black girls are deemed fast by nature, and little mistakes like that we are shamed for when mistakes happen. And in times like these, we really need to learn to protect, mm-hmm. just like Jesus did. And based on the outrage that the congregation I've seen on social media, even on the Facebook group that they go live on, that I've seen they're facing right now, mm-hmm. I can only hope that that little girl doesn't think that it's her fault that this is happening, because you already know if they're able to shame her for going up and standing in front of the congregation and saying she's pregnant, they're probably telling her that this happened because of her mistake. And I hope she knows she's worth more than them knocking her down like that, and that she has a whole community behind her.
Wow. Were you going to say something, Josh? I was going to chime in, but I don't want to interrupt.
Sorry, I was hot.
No. I was just giving it. That's the first thing I was going to say. Like, one, I'm proud of you, Kyle, because you do. You, you definitely speak your mind in previous episodes, but you meant all of this. This is I can tell that this is definitely, and I wish I knew more about this to chime in, but everything you said is what I was like listening. Like, I want to know more about this church and the pastor. I want to know who the father is, because it takes two, and they're chastising, crucifying this young lady. And heaven forbid if it was some older person, who took advantage of her. We don't even know. So that's the other part. And or someone who was in that church. And that's just what's coming to my mind right now. And
allegedly, in quotations, they were saying the baby father is the drummer of the church. But neither of that is confirmed. There was a lot of speculation, yeah, either saying like it's one of his grandsons, oh, wow, or it's somebody who's in the congregation. And I don't know. But
yeah,
but it's just, it's sad.
Yeah. And I love that you said allegedly, because we don't know out of fairness, but I wonder how old that drummer is, if it is.
Yeah.
And wow. And the other thing I was going to say, the same thing you said, as far as that's why people are leaving the church. And it just breaks my heart when I hear things like this. And the other thing you said, it goes against the true principles of Jesus. You know, when you talk about love, grace, forgiveness, supporting others. I mean, I could go on. And then I think you said, you touched on this a little too, how we look to the rest of the world. Because they see this as this typical Black church or typical Black church business. And we have to make it clear that this is not just another day in the Black church. This is not the Black experience at church. And I know some of our listeners are saying it's not fair, because when something goes awry, you know, in a white church, you don't judge, you know, all white churches. And I do agree with that, but unfortunately, that's the world we're in, and we are put in a box like that. So when these things occur, they tend to say, hey, that's the Black church for you. And I just pray that the right people reach out to her, and not just her family too. Well, you said her mother didn't come to her rescue. Mom
wrote on Facebook that she likes where she is. Wow. And she chose to be where she is and to stop hating on the church because it's ruining her peace of mind. So it's basically saying she's blaming her daughter for everything. It's not the pastor. It's not what was wrong. And that just goes to show, like, it's a generational cycle for a lot of Black women, because, like, when you look at it, like, young Black girls are viewed as grown.
Yeah.
They wear their hair a certain way or have a certain color on their nails. There's no protection. Mm-hmm. Like, it's protect your child. Not only that, protect your grandchild, but know enough to not be blinded, because even in the Bible, God says that there's going to be, like, Satan is a god of light. So he's going to appear like that person can be a god of light in her eyes, that what he says is true. And nobody should go to her congregations, and her daughter should be ashamed of herself. But it's like, if you really, you got to dig down, not only believe what the pastor is saying, but you got to dig down into God's word yourself as well. Amen. Because not everything that comes out of other people, because everybody's still human. Yeah. At the end of the day, nobody's perfect. We're all descended to Adam and Eve. And you don't be misled, basically, like with that mom.
Yeah. Kai, you have a bright future on the Unknown Preacher LA. Just want to let you know that.
Sorry, I was marinating on it. I was like,
I love it.
Early.
What you said, Josh?
He was telling me about it earlier this morning. She was like, I can't wait to tell you.
It was on my mind at 8 a.m. this morning.
I love it. And I'm glad, because I didn't know about it. So thank you. Josh, anything to add to that, man? Because she, wow.
Kaya definitely, you know, summed it up for real. How I look at the situation, and I just simply say in these simple words, I just think, you know, the young lady should have all the support.
Absolutely.
you know, going through that alone could be very terrifying, you know. So, you know, hopefully she gets, again, the support, the help she needs. And I think people just need to, like, you know, I know people have, like, their own beliefs and things, but some people just, you can't, like, just blame her for that, you know. It's at the same time, you know, like I told you earlier, like, flow like water, you know. So I wouldn't, if I was in, you know, her situation, I would just do me. I would focus on what I got going on and not let the outside noise get to her.
Amen. Amen to that. We have a lot of work to do. And honestly, truth be told, that's one of the reasons we have this podcast, to really, to really tell the truth and really follow those principles of love, forgiveness, and support. Because Josh, you said exactly what I was starting to say. You know, I really hope she gets the emotional support and financial support if that's what's needed. So, wow, Kai, thank you again for sharing that with us. I want to do a little research, and maybe in future episodes, I'll try to give an update. It just blows me away.
A baby registry or something, if she needs help, or, you know, like, is there something that she could post? Or I hope she knows how many people are trying to support her right now.
Yeah. Maybe you could reach out. I know, Unc, you got a lot going on, but there's a way you could get her on the podcast.
She ain't going to be on the podcast.
I don't know. You know,
she's going to get her on the podcast and she's going to start crying.
Let her have her space. Like, it's always a way, you know, to come at people and things like that. So let her have her space. And if she's willing to, you know, share her story, and, you know, even though we know the story, I'm just saying the back end.
Yeah.
There's a way we can help, you know, that's all I'm saying.
I'm definitely all about if we could put information on here that would give her resources. I'm all about that. And yeah, I am about her being on here, but I do have a feeling, just based on what Kaya has shared, that her mother, by her being under 18, her mother probably won't allow that.
That's true.
I hope she still has faith.
Amen. That's the big part of this. Thank you for reminding us of that too. So, wow. I'm gonna change gears just a little, but it's still gonna be a little bit on my mind, because that's a pretty heavy story. But I just want to tell you two, today I'm interviewing Cornelius Kirk, and he is just truly a man of God. He has a strong presence in social media. And I'll just share this, what I thought about. And I think it's also why I'm so looking forward to this discussion. So when I went to Kenton as a chief, and I got this idea from Chief Lopez, by the way, but I connected with all the chiefs in the neighboring agencies, and we met for lunch like once a month, and we discussed issues and shared ideas. And, you know, we all realized that we were going through the same things. And what I realized was that it was therapeutic too, because it could be a lonely position. And so by having this podcast, I think it would be pretty cool to speak to someone who has their own podcast, someone who probably has shared some of the same experiences as I have, and had a similar journey. So I'm really excited about Cornelius coming on. So, yeah.
I'm excited as well. I want to see what topics you guys are going to explore upon.
Yeah. Definitely. I'll tell you, he's so... Normally, when I have guests on, we talk a little bit about, you know, what I try to get background on them and identify a direction to go in. But he basically was like, hey, we can just tell, it's nothing's off limits. We just get on here and do what we do. And I mean, that's impressive. So I'm like, okay, let's do this. So, yeah, mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. But any final words before we go to our commercial break?
No final words on my end.
Protect your young ones.
Yes, yes. we have a parenting panel coming up too in weeks to come. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of stuff that's going to go into address that, and maybe by then we'll have an update. So, Kaya, I really appreciate you sharing that with us, man. It means a lot.
Of course, of course.
Yeah, yeah. So, y'all, when we come back, Cornelius, Kirk, Kaya, Josh, thank you both. God bless y'all, and we'll see our listeners or hear them. Hey, this is the Unknown Preacher LA, and I'm telling you now, you have to check out the newest EP by Sosa Brown and Nick Is. It's titled Christ and Camo by Sosa Is. Songs like The Shepherd, God's Hands, Shogun Faith, and Ezekiel. It's on all streaming platforms, so you gotta peep it. So let me just say this, a member of our team, Lisa, she told me about our guest, and she said, when you get a chance, look at his content on social media. And so, of course, I went on and I said, Lisa's right, and we have to ask him to come on. And here we are. So today's guest is truly a man of God, a father of six, wellness advocate, podcast host, and media owner. Please welcome to the Unknown Preacher LA, Cornelius Kirk. How are you, sir?
Man, I am blessed. Thank you for having me. I'm appreciative.
Man, it's my honor, man. I love what you're doing. Much love and appreciation for your presence on social media, your ministry. I always say this, you know, lives are at stake and we're at war, and you know, you, my brother, you have the full armor of God on. So, yeah, God bless you.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, because that is ultimately the goal, to really realize that we are at warfare, even when it doesn't feel like it, but it's true.
Yes, yes, man. And that's when they're the most dangerous and we're the most vulnerable, when we don't see it, man. So, yeah. And I want to ask you this, man, because there's so many directions, and I'll let our listeners know this. Most of the time when I have guests on, there's some, you know, discussions, because I want to make certain that we're on the same page about direction. And just kudos to you. You're like, man, we're going to just, you know, record. There's no prep. There's no discussions. And so that just speaks volumes of the man of God you are, too. So I love the organic feel. And don't get me wrong, I loved all my guests. They have strong ministries, but when someone says, hey, man, just whatever you ask, we can talk about it, man. I just, kudos to you again, brother.
Yeah. And just to give context for where that came from, because the old me couldn't have done that. Like, wow. I couldn't have, I didn't have the confidence. I didn't have the character to say, hey, put me in the room and we can have any conversation, because at the end of the day, life doesn't always give you, you know, it doesn't give you the chance to prep yourself. Sometimes you just got to show up and deal with what's coming at you. And so I try to do that every day.
I love it. So let me ask you this. You said the old me, what got you from point A to point B?
Man. So I like to say that there's major tipping points, mm-hmm. but there's also all these micro little things that happen along the way. And I'm going to speak from context of a man. I can't talk about other people's story. For me, it's a lot of little things that was happening sometimes behind the scene. Mm-hmm. And at some point they hit you and you're like, I'm tired of being tired. I need to change these things. Wow. And for me, that's really what it was just a lot of little things adding up to saying, I want to be at the end of the day, a godly man, a better man, and a man that people can count on and trust. And that's not who the old me was.
Yeah. And I'll piggyback a little. I love that answer. And I can speak for me, because I'm telling you, man, that how would I put it? Do I say spiritual confidence? Because we can let pride get in our way. And I can tell you that would be my fallacy in some cases. Because of my career, I was forced to do it and just go into a room and not know where the questions come from. But part of me, that perfectionist part that I think is a perfectionist, that part that I'm still working on, I want everything organized. I want to make certain I say it a certain way. And so it takes that's what I was looking for, that spiritual confidence, you know, because when you have that, it doesn't matter. Like, and I'm getting there. I'll be honest with you, because I can go back and listen to an old episode and say, oh, yeah, I misspoke. I didn't really say that the best way. It wasn't as eloquent. And the old me would beat myself up and just keep going on and on and keep playing it back. Like, wow, did they? Yeah, I don't even give that a second thought anymore. So not taking away from your story, but that I just, you know, I have to be transparent as well. So I appreciate you, man.
No, you only added to it. You only added to it. I like that. I like hearing that.
Yeah, thank you, man. Yeah. So what was your goal when you started your social media presence?
I think it was like everybody else, just be present, connect with old friends, you know, those little things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still part of it. But it's also what the messages that I try to put out is messages of, it's a ministry for me.
Yeah.
That's really like it. Everything I come out with is from my heart. It's God sent. I don't just put out anything. There's always a reason behind it, and it really is God led first.
Yes.
And so I use my platform. I know people are on there. You can't go anywhere right now where somebody doesn't have their face in a phone.
Mm-mm.
So then as a ministry, I have to be there too.
Yeah.
And so that's mostly what I use my social media for.
Yeah. And to your point, we're forced to, and you're missing out on so many souls if you don't do it. But I also think about we're in a time now where there's just so much negative content out there. Everyone's, you know, doing the clickbait thing, and, you know, and then it's the other pieces, seems like everyone's on edge all the time now. So to have something inspiring and, you know, talking about the greatest love of all, and that's Jesus Christ, you know, to put that out there, it's just, to me, refreshing. And that's what it was when Lisa directed me to your work, your content. And it was refreshing.
Yeah. No, I think you mentioned something that's very key, is that there's a lot of negative. And so there has to be a balancing. And so that's why I think as men of God, women of God, we have to be there. And we have to not fit in. We have to kind of fit out. And that's where I believe a lot of us kind of fall short, is that we almost like allow the negativity to sink us in. And now we're acting the same way versus showing up as we're supposed to.
I love it. You made me think of something else, too, because and my friends get on me about it, but it's a habit. So I will get on a post and I always go to the comment section. And that's just because I'm always intrigued by how people are influencing one another in the comment section. And then how really some people can be really bitter towards one another. But in saying that, it just seems not only do we need something refreshing, we need, you know, us as children of God stepping up and, you know, speaking out and especially defending our women. That's something that I don't see enough of as well.
That's a great topic. So to be transparent, I spend a lot of my day when I am on social media, because I don't do a lot of scrolling for all the reasons, but when I do and I catch something that I want to look at, I go to the comments, just like you just said. And I go to the comments and I try to protect my spirit and pray about it, because some of the things you read, bro, but it also gives you a lot of context to the condition of a lot of people's hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, yo, some of the things I read, I'm like, yo, I would never say that to anybody.
Yeah.
But there's a distance when I can say it from my keyboard versus, you know, if I was standing in front of you, I probably wouldn't, I don't believe people would say these things, but there's like this illusion because we're not standing next to one another. We're on this platform. And so it helps me to get to pray more, and it helps me to understand the condition of people's heart right now.
Yeah. I love that, man. And I think in our work, what we do, that's probably one of the main reasons why we are going to that comment section, because we do have to be mindful. And what we're doing is just so, it's needed so much, you know. And I'll also add that not many people have that intestinal fortitude to say what needs to be said, too. And so I appreciate your boldness from what I've seen, and you putting yourself out there. And I tell you, I dissect everything all the time, even the comments. So, yeah. But let me ask you this. So in saying that, do you ever worry, or I know the answer about I mentioned misspeaking, but also like saying something that could also cause you to get the backlash in the comment section or just in general?
I would be lying if I said I don't think about it, mm-hmm. but that's part of ministry. You have to do that. Yeah. And so I'm very mindful of my words.
Yeah.
You know, when I type something, I'm typing through a spirit. I'm trying to not type from an ego. Yeah. And I'm just trying to be respectful. I'm trying to be loving, but also speak truth.
Amen.
And so if that truth shakes some trees and people fall out, that's fine. That's part of it. That might be what it takes to wake up their spirit. And I'm okay with that.
I love it. I remember I was on the, it was a Christian page, and someone was asking about, I forgot what it was. It was either about overcoming fear or doubt or something. And you know, and they were like, what do you do? And I normally don't even chime in the comments, but I said, you know, let me tell this brother, you know, the power of prayer. And I put that in there. And I don't know who this person was, but this other guy gets on there and crucified me for no reason. But without any, not only did he throw darts at what my one sentence comment projected on there, but he gave no resolution either. And it said, it was something to the effect was like, that's the stupidest thing I ever read. And I'm like, wow, like really? And I was hesitant at first. I was like, well, just ignore, because normally that's my, you know, default, just ignore that. And it just kept driving me, mainly because there was no resolution. So I just replied and said, you know, number one, if there's some disagreement in spiritual counsel, please, you know, provide resolution. But number two, there's a respectful way to do this. And the person just never responded. But that's the world we're in now.
So you bring up a point that which stands out from one of my favorite books, which is the Four Agreements. Mm-hmm. I think it's agreement number four is don't take things personal. Not that you took that personal.
No, that's a good point.
But that's one thing I'm really practicing is I'm going to say, and you know, you're going to get some pushback from people.
Yes.
For all the reasons. Like I said, people are hurting, but also people have different lived experience. Some people, and I like to say raised right, but some people don't know how to treat each other. That's a real thing. That's a real thing we're seeing today.
Yes.
And that's why these kinds of conversations and the content is necessary, hopefully to help people see that there's a better way.
Mm-hmm. I love it, man. I love it. And you know what they say, hurt people.
100%.
You know, that's just so spot. And you're right. And I've always said that myself, like I will, you know, and generally I'm pretty good at it, but we are human too. And that, those emotions get, especially when there's like, you're just on there just to attack. It's like, you're not even trying to, you know, counter is fine. We can have a debate or friendly disagreement, but this person was asking for help. And now, honestly, both of us have gotten off task because I'm replying to your negativity. So, yeah.
No, I try to be respectful. Decent and in order, man. I treat people, and you know this, like you want to be treated, even online. Online, and even in disagreement. And so once in a while I get pulled in. I can be, you know, I'm human, just like you just said, and I got my flaws. But the most part, I try not to take it personal.
Amen, amen. And then, you know, I'll add on again, that was a Christian, you know, it when that's the part that hurts more than anything. But what I found too is this huge vetting process when it comes to people like us and the ministries, because whether it's through music, sermon, spoken word, you name it. And I know, trust me, we should be aware of false prophets, but it seems as though as you're looked at initially with the side eye when you first come out. And this is hopefully for a listener who's thinking about either expanding their ministry through podcasts or whatever have you. But initially you, and I'll speak for me, and I would love to get your take on it too, but you looked a little sideways, like maybe you're a shyster. And then once the more and more content you put out, the more followers, then it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. I get it now. Was that your experience, or was it a little different?
No, it is. And I think that's across the board. I think people are looking, they've heard things, they see things, they've dealt with church hurt.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the biggest thing is just because you had a situation happen once in one place, you can't put that across the whole body of Christ. That was a one-off, you know what I mean? And so that's why it's so important for us, though, to be above reproach, where, because you know, if not, and we're not perfect, but at the end of the day, this is a soul thing. You said at the beginning of the show, this is a soul, people's souls at heart. So you got to take that serious.
That's right.
And you know, it's really easy for me to say I'm a Christian. That's easy for me to just.
This episode is brought to you by the Black Farmers Hub and by Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores. Both serve as a platform for Black farmers and food and beverage makers. Inspired by their family legacies with a mission to provide a platform for Black and Brown farmers, support their work by visiting thesweeterjuice.com as they consistently advocate for food sovereignty and assist with alleviating food apartheid. The Black Farmers Hub and Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores.
I mean, it rolls off the tongue. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I'm a man of faith.
Yeah.
But does my life look like it?
Preach.
If you follow me for 24 hours or 24 days or 24 months, does it look like it in my actions? And that's the part that we need to talk more about. Is you know, and that's what I'm trying to stand on and build every day.
Man, I love it, and I'm excuse me. I'm always talking about humility when it comes to that, and so I want to ask you this now, just hearing you say that, because we can get caught up too if we're not careful, because once they do see that wall, we can forget that it's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ, Christian principles. And so what advice would you give someone who's stepping out and their ministry is expanding? Because I think that's one of the biggest fallacies, the biggest fall is when we start believing that hype, you know? And so what advice would you get? How do you stay humble?
You know who you're. So yes, I'm really excited about this question. You're bringing to mind one of my favorite pastors. He's online, so I don't know him. But I get something in my spirit that's different about this man. He's in Atlanta, 2819 Church. I think his name's Philip Anthony Mitchell. And he's talking about this because he's getting so much attention now. Because of the way he's bringing the word and bringing people together. And he's very caught. He talks about this all the time. Don't make it about me.
Yes.
I'm just a vessel. Yes. Don't put me on no spiritual pedestal. I don't need that. I'm a servant of God just like you are. But that's right. I just been given a little anointing to share this word. But I'm a human. I have the same challenges you do. And that's one of the biggest things that I think we have to do is, like you already said it, it's not about me.
It's about us.
It's about the word of God. It's about the prince. It's about the kingdom. It's about ultimately the Great Commission, or it's about making disciples. That's really what it's about.
Amen.
And that's the main thing. And a lot of us, I think sometimes we don't keep the main thing, and that's where we fall into trouble.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I'm like really big on like spotlighting other ministries. And even if it like, I will ask if someone has a podcast, hey, I'm promoting it on here because it's about the souls. If they say, okay, Cornelius, I think he's going to take me to another place that LA can't take me. I'm 100% okay with that. I'm super excited for that person and their journey and their salvation. So I'm really big. I've had so many wonderful mentors in my life. And I just remember one saying, you know, when, you know, you start believing what they say about you and the good things, that's when you're in trouble. You know, don't fall into it. Don't believe your own hype, man. So,
well, you know, and I love that you're bringing this up. This is such a good point. You're really talking about a flesh issue.
Yes.
And when we get into that, and we like, listen, you see it every day now, but you can go back in time, and there's so many examples of men and women who have started to smell themselves and fall off because of it. And so when you can see stories so, and I'm thinking I'm going to be better than that. No, you're not. You're going to make those same arrogant mistakes and God's going to humble you.
That's right.
I think it says the humble will be exalted and the other ones will come crashing down. And I've had enough of my kingdom on my short journey to fall down because of exactly what you're talking about. So I'm at a point now where I think I've learned my lesson, but you know, you never know what tomorrow brings, but I'm in prayer about it, man. It's really, again, not about me. I don't even like when I post things, I don't really love showing my face and I don't like to post messages, but it's not about me.
I love that, man. I love, and you know, and as you were saying it, I'm thinking, you know, idolatry, whether we put money before God, whether we put ourselves because of egoism, you know, we can't put anything before our Father and Savior. That's just the bottom line. And we can get caught up into it if we start believing it. And I'm unfortunately seen it. And I've seen good people saved, men of God, just, you know, and like we said, you're human. So I just said we have to stay guarded. So I appreciate that discussion.
Yeah, man. Anytime. I think hearing, and I just heard this other day as a reminder, I've heard before, but the enemy is not a liar. He's just a deceiver. And he can deceive us. And he knows what we have an affinity for. So those things you were just talking about, he knows what I like.
Yes.
You know, so he knows how to kind of come at me. And if your spirit's not right, it only takes a little bit of a gap. And you look up in a year and you're like, how did I get here? And it was leaving that door open. And so that's why you got to guard that heart, man. That's Proverbs 4:23 talks about it. Guard that heart.
Love it, brother. Love it. Hey, man. So let me, I'm trying to think, should we do this? Because I love the discussion. I can hand it over to you and we can talk about some more. Anything else you want to mention? Or I pulled like three of your posts that I really gravitated towards, and I was going to read them and ask you to expound on them a little. So whichever direction you want to go in.
I only have one other point that's on my heart. Uh-huh. And it's one thing that for a lot of my life, I let it beat me was I was afraid to express my faith in public.
Gotcha.
Whether that was at work, whether that in general. And so I got to a point, I was like, wait a minute, why does the world get to do whatever they want, say whatever they want, show up how they want? Why do I have to hide my faith?
Wow.
And so this is for anybody that's listening out there. Like, why can't we show up fully in our faith of who we are and not be, you know, dim in our light? I guess I would get to that, dear in our spiritual light. So, and that's why I think we have so many issues in our world now is because we're not showing up fully. We're hiding our faith because we don't feel like it'll be accepted. And sometimes it's not going to be accepted, and that's okay too.
Wow. That's a subject. That's a whole nother episode, man. I'm telling you, because that's actually almost everyday living, you know, whether we're at work, we're around our friends, and that the pressure of the world, man, and wanting to fit in. And I think it starts, you know, we can take a social approach to this and say, even as children, you know, we get on our kids about peer pressure, but as adults, we fall right into it. We do the exact same thing because we don't want to be ousted by our peers. And it just, that spiritual boldness is just so beautiful when you really understand that this is God, here are my principles. One thing, and I have been that silent person too. I may have taken a moral approach without necessarily mentioning the spiritual dynamics of it, and kind of use that as a shield. Am I making sense?
I love that you brought that up. There is a moral, you know. Yeah, I'm showing up with my values.
Yeah,
but I've been there too, brother. So that's not. And that works. That's a part of the process.
Yes.
I think there's another level to it, obviously, where this is what it is. And, you know, there's a fear. And you talk about you gain the world, but you lose your soul. So there's a fear. If I put myself out there, will I lose my job and not be able to pay my bills?
That's right.
Right. And those are the things that, again, probably won't happen. And if we really believe what God said, we don't have to worry about those things. But in a tangible world, those are some of the things that I think we deal with.
Man, I love this discussion. And one of my former guests, Minister Gail Campbell, was on here. And I don't know if she even remembers this, but I'll tell everyone she's one of my spiritual mentors. But years ago, I just remember just stressing about one of my bosses. And I just remember her, you know, just saying, if God's for you, and that's all, who can be against you? And soon as she said it, it just brought this whole level of calmness to me. But at the end of the day, it actually turned out to be one of the better relationships I had with the boss. But I can go in so many directions about where we could go on and on, but at the end of the day, man, it's just everything we're talking about right now, that spiritual boldness. And not once you know who's on your side, man, we should be able to walk with our head up and not back down from any of those religious discussions, opportunities to profess our love for Christ.
Yeah. The word has so much power. Another thing that I want to say, I remember reading my Bible. I was on my lunch break at work, and I was in a corner. Like, I was literally way over in a corner and I also had myself turned where I didn't want to disrupt, because I understand how people are. I just wanted to read my word and be in my space.
Yeah.
And a gentleman walked in the room, and I think he just got a glimpse of the Bible, and he got really uncomfortable.
Wow.
And it was one of the first times where I really realized how powerful the word is. I didn't say anything. He just saw the presence of the word open, and his spirit got kind of off kilter. And I was like, praise God. It really made me realize how powerful that word is without ever saying anything. So it's something that I hope more people lean into. I got my Bible. I forgot it's sitting over on my counter.
Yeah.
So I have my bag, and I have my Apple computer in there and all these things. But, man, if I went into my bag and somebody stole it, I would be so much more hurt by the loss of my Bible over any other possession, man.
Powerful, brother. Powerful. We, I know there's a number of people who heard this, man, and you have been a blessing to so many of them, man. And, but thank you. That's first. Let me say thank you. If you don't mind, I'll read at least one post. I'm gonna see which one kind of pulled me. The three of them were really. Let's see. I like this one. I think I like this one, and it's kind of in. So direct people often get misunderstood. I truly value those who communicate with clarity and honesty. Bluntness with purpose is refreshing. Expound on that one.
So I can only speak for myself and my past, but there was times where I wouldn't have a direct approach to people because I was worried about, I had the information that I had was correct. Mm-hmm. I considered that, but my approach was based on how I felt they would respond.
Yeah.
So we call it beating around the bush. I beat around the bush instead of just saying, this is what it is. This is how I see it. And again, always in love and respect, but this is what it is. And so now I've chosen to be that. And one caveat that a mentor told me is you got to remember, the deeper your relationship, the more direct you can be.
Yeah.
And so now I pride myself in building really deep roots in my relationships so that we don't have to do that back and forth. Like, just come at me and let's talk about it, because I don't want to waste your time. I don't want you to waste my time. And I want to get to getting on in life what we need to get to. So let's have the conversation. And there's nothing off the table. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I love it. I'm a work in progress on, I am very open on my opinion, but as my wife always said, you're always putting sugar on top of it. I will like try my best to put it on this platter so you will receive it. And sometimes, I think that's why some of my closest friends are very direct, because I admire that about them. But sometimes you do have to just give it to them the way it is. And that's something that I will honestly and transparently say I need to work on.
Well, let's there's a balance.
Yeah.
So I like what you're saying is true too. There's sometimes where you got to put some honey on it, right? And that's okay if that works, but there's sometimes where you got to be direct and just knowing which time this is.
That's right.
That's all.
That's right. I love these discussions, man. You are such a blessing to the show. You have no idea. Before we close out, I'm going to just give you the floor, whatever you want to say. And I know you have your content, your anything you want to share about what you do, how they can follow you. I hand it over to you, my brother.
Yes, I appreciate that. I'm Cornelius Kirk. I'm on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all the platforms, LinkedIn. You can find me there. Again, it's really not about, I hope you do, you follow, you inbox me, you have questions, whatever that looks like. But the one thing that I do want to leave people with is, this is a stat that I read the other day that I think is so important. And it was that only 6% of people who say they are Christians have ever read the whole Bible.
Wow.
So 94% are walking around spiritually, let's say it, illiterate, because they haven't had the time or took the time to read through the whole word, which is, how do you run the play if you don't read the playbook?
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm going to say is, read that playbook. And it's, you know, the beautiful part about it, it's going to enhance your life. Every part of your life is going to be enhanced if you read it and apply it. You got to apply it now. Let me just say that too. So, man, I appreciate you allowing me to be a part of your platform. Love the questions. And this is what it's about. Just spreading the gospel, spreading the word, spreading the love, not letting our past dictate. If I let my past, because I get it all, I still get it today. People come up and tell me, yeah, but you remember how you used to be. Yeah, I do. I'm not that man. I'm not that man anymore. And so it's so important, man, to be present and be in the moment. And go for it.
I love it, man. I definitely, it's been an honor for me, and I hope you can come back, because I have panel discussions with, you know, 3 or 4 ministers, and we have really good conversations. So I'll definitely keep you in the loop and see if it coincides with your schedule. But to your point about the past, I can tell you, the same here. And I've even had friends, my boys that I grew up with, and, you know, they'll bring up those old stories, and we have to remind them. And I think to myself is, I only can let them see who I am, and hopefully that, you know, the old me doesn't overshadow who I am now in their eyes. eyes, but I can't control that because those are things that did occur. Those are things I did do, but hey, here I stand, you know?
Nah, man. I 100% with you. Yes. Totally agree.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Cornelius Kirk, thank you, brother.
Thank you for having me. Soon.
Amen. Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown Preacher. The unknown.